That is the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you will, go ahead and get your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll be reading in just a moment from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 17 through 26. Now, what we're doing is studying a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of February the 3rd to 1924 about what Israel learned at Sinai. And it's an interesting lesson because the things we're studying are the things that Moses teaching the children of the Israelites from Sinai in the plain of Moab, just before they go into the promised land. And so it's about 40 years later when Moses is teaching these children of those who were at Sinai what had taken place. And in our last lesson, as we were coming to a close, we were talking about what God had done for the Israelites. And that's why we'll be reading in just a moment from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 17 through 26. Now, this is the lesson 481 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I want you to know at this time, before we get into that lesson, that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you take your seats and pull out your Bible, we'll read together Deuteronomy 7, verses 17 through 26. If thou shalt say in thy heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Thou shalt well remember what Jehovah thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt, the great trials which thine eyes saw, and all the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm whereby Jehovah thy God brought thee out. So shall Jehovah thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, Jehovah thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves perish from before thee. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for Jehovah thy God is in the midst of thee, a great God and terrible. And Jehovah thy God will cast out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But Jehovah thy God will deliver them up before thee, and will discomfort them with a great discomforter, until they be destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt make their name to perish under the heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee, until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images of the gods ye shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it into thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination in Jehovah thy God. And thou shalt not bring an abomination into thy house, and it become a devoted thing like unto it. Thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a devoted thing. And by those words, devoted thing, Moses is talking about the fact that people devote them to worship and worship these things as idols. And he did not want the children of Israel to do that when they entered into the promised land. Now we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that Jehovah, he is God. There is none else beside him. And Elam writes and comments on that. God came down upon Mount Sinai in the thick cloud, covered it with darkness and fire, and spoke to the people from heaven, and out of the fire, that they might see all this and hear his voice, that he might instruct them, that they might know that Jehovah is God, and that there is none else beside them. Even then it was impossible to keep the majority of them out of idolatry. We read in verses 36 and 37 of Deuteronomy 4, "Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he made thee to see his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out with his presence, with his great power, out of Egypt." And Elam writes, "He did this also because he loved their fathers, and had chosen their seed after them. For this reason he had brought the ones to whom Moses spoke out of Egypt through the terrible wilderness into his presence." Now, showing that not all the children of Israel had forgotten God's mercies, Isaiah rejoices in the loving kindness, great goodness, and multitudes of blessings God had bestowed upon them in their afflictions, and had made them his people by the angel of his presence, and had saved them. We read in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9, "I will make mention of the loving kindness of Jehovah, and the praises of Jehovah according to all that Jehovah hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, Surely they are my people, children that will not deal falsely. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and in the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and buried and bare them, and carried them all, as in the days of old." Much is said in this connection with the angel of God's presence. The angel of Jehovah called Abraham out of heaven and stopped him when he was about to slay Isaac in Genesis 22:11. The angel of Jehovah spoke to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. The angel of God was in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, protecting and guiding the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 13:21. God promised that his presence should go with Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 34. We might note what was said in earlier lessons we've had about the angel of God's presence. But we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, "Know therefore this day, and lay it to thy heart, that Jehovah, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, that there is none else." With all this plain and powerful teaching, these signs and demonstrations, with this multitude of loving kindness and continued mercy, the children of Israel should know and lay it to heart that Jehovah is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath, and there is no other. But in view of God's love for us, what should we know and do? We should be moved and led to repent. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 4, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" We should be constrained to serve Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we judge, that one died for all, therefore all died." We should present our bodies as living, holy, and acceptable sacrifices unto God. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And we should love and obey God. We read in John 3 in verse 39, He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40, we read where Moses said, Thou shalt keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee forever. Jehovah, being the only true and living God, there being no other, and because of all his loving kindness, all he had done for the children of Israel, they're commanded to keep his statutes and his commandments, which they had heard at Sinai, which they had then had to them repeated by Moses. They were forbidden to add to them or to diminish from them. This was impressed upon them at the destruction of the thousands at Baal Peor. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, And now, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah the God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Jehovah did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, Jehovah thy God hath destroyed them from the midst of thee. But ye that did cleave unto Jehovah your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Jehovah my God commanded thee, that you should do so in the midst of the land, whether you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, that shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that hath a God nigh unto them as Jehovah our God is, whensoever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that hath statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? This is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 12. In verse 32 we read, What things soever I command you, that shall ye observe to do. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And this is repeated in different ways from one end of the Bible to the other. It is strongly impressed concerning the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we read, And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. While rereading Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be anathema. I hope you're enjoying these classes from the Warren County Radio Bible School, and will tune in tomorrow as we continue these studies.